In the grim darkness of the far future, there is only war. And beyond the roar of battle, beyond the shadows cast by dying suns, a secret stands eternal. Silent and unwavering, it endures as humanity's last shield. They are called the Grey Knights. Their legend is written not in song, but in silence. For they serve unseen and unrewarded, their purpose carved into every soul by the Emperor himself. A name whispered in hushed awe by those who have glimpsed them. Silver angels or ghostly warriors. They stand alone, beyond mortal ken, embodying both hope and terror in equal measure. Yet, to the common man, the Grey Knights might as well be myth, an enigma hidden behind the Imperium's memory, known to all by rumor, remembered by none in truth. For these warriors were forged in the Emperor's vision on the eve of his final stand. When war bloomed black across the galaxy, even the gods of chaos trembled at whispers of the Grey Knights. Created at the Emperor's own command, they were humanity's last weapon against the gods of the warp. In secret, on the moon of Titan, the sigilite Malkador gathered the Emperor's champion psykers. Eight heads bowed to fate. Eight souls found purpose. Titan rose into the Immaterium, a fortress lifted from reality's grasp, shielded from traitors' gaze. Here, amid labyrinthine halls of stone and stellite crystals, the first Grey Knights took shape. Their gene seed was wrought from the Emperor's own lineage, their minds filled with knowledge beyond mortal ken. Each brother, a potent psyker, each heart, a vessel of unbroken loyalty. Unlike any other legion, none among them has ever tasted corruption. They stand alone as the Imperium's most incorruptible champions. Where Xenos and human psykers falter, the Grey Knights remain resolute, guardians against the corruption of chaos. Their fortress, known only via the Citadel of Titan, is a cathedral of war. Hidden beneath layers of rock and cloaked by arcane wards, it remains unseen by friend or foe. Titan is both cradle and crucible for these warriors, where flesh and spirit are cleansed in the Emperor's name. In this hidden sanctum, every knight is a warrior of the mind as well as sword. Librarians outnumber Greycoat warriors, each one trained in arcane combat. Side by side, they wield force weapons and banshee screaming psyker powers alike, burning demons back into oblivion with words of dark incantation. Their numbers are few. Only 1,000 stand beneath the chapter's standard. But each is a storm of strength. No faceless cannon fodder, no expendable squad. Brothers live and die by sacred rite, oaths sworn on the Emperor's soul. Each Grey Knight is not merely a soldier, but a living angel of vengeance. They are at once everywhere and nowhere. Tales persist of war zones where monstrous hosts of chaos are cut down, even as Imperial records show not a single chapter present. They appear in flashes, a blade of light in the darkness. And when the fight is done, all that remains are cleansed ruins and fevered dreams. The galaxy's populace hears only fragments of their existence. Preachers and scribes repeat legends learned from the oldest data crypts. Silver-armored angels vanquish demons, shining specters that slip between worlds. But the truth is too dangerous, and words too few. So most citizens regard them as nothing more than pious myth. Even within the Imperium, knowledge of the Grey Knights is sealed away. The Inquisition alone is trusted with their secrets, and only the highest lords of Terra whisper their name. Any who learn too much risk having their memories cleansed, a compulsory forgetting wrought by data scythes, and the silent judgment of recoil squads. Thus, the greatest weapon against chaos remains hidden in plain sight. And yet, each soldier in battle subconsciously feels the Grey Knight's presence. The very air grows colder. Demons sense an encroaching doom. When these silent warriors arrive, demonic hosts retreat or shatter. To Imperial guardsmen who survive, they are only marines of some unknown chapter. Curiously fearless, armed with strange weapons that hum with arcane energy. By the time a coherent thought forms, the Grey Knights are gone, mythic ghosts, leaving only the echo of a prayer. Their armor shines with unnatural purity. Steel gray, etched with the chapter's red, covered in holy runes. Upon their carapace blazes the symbol of the Inquisition, the hammer, and laurel, a sign that they are the Emperor's undying vigil. They carry no banners beyond their oaths, and no songs but their silent prayers. In quiet resolve, they carry the light into the darkest places. These knights do not fight for glory or immortality. Each knows that his life is expendable, his deeds erased. If the voices of rebellion or terror ever spoke their truth, the Grey Knights would silence them with bolt and fist. Yet this is no vanity. Only the purification of man's soul drives them. Only duty. They are the Emperor's will made flesh. The answer to prayers no one dared speak aloud. In their arsenal are weapons both physical and spiritual. Nemesis force weapons are foci of willpower, forged to rend the warp as surely as any sword can sunder steel. Bolters equipped with Aegis or Infernus systems burn demons where they stand. And in the grim darkness of psychic battle, the Grey Knights utter the banned syllables, the words of banishment, incantations that send demons screaming back to their hells. Legends tell of the Liber Daemonica, a tome bound in demon hide, containing every unspoken word needed to defeat the ruinous powers. None in history, other than the chapter's founder, learned all 666 of these dread words. One Grey Knight bled his soul white for that knowledge, carving the Emperor's wrath into every phrase. When the pages crackle with eldritch light, the very battlefield becomes a weapon against chaos. Even their minds are weaponized. Each brother is honed in the psychic arts from the moment of ascension. Some might whisper that giving all warriors psionic might would spell disaster. Yet the Grey Knights defy the norm. In them, the warp is harnessed, not embraced. They do not shatter under its pressure, but reshape it into shields and hammers. So they fight unafraid where others would quake in madness. Yet, it is not power alone that marks them. It is purity. Every trial, every ritual ever wrought by chapter or cult is designed to burn out the slightest taint. Their ranks are filled with recruits as pure as the young constructs of Mars, unbroken by fear or doubt. Each Grey Knight is born under a vow: never to serve chaos, never to kneel, never to forget that mankind is worth the sacrifice of all souls. The legend begins with the Emperor's own will. In the final hour before Terra fell, the Emperor foresaw that chaos would outlive any single battle. He knew that even if Horus sat upon the golden throne and fell, the war against chaos would rage eternal. So the Emperor turned his gaze to the Sigilite, Malkador, his steadfast servant, and bade him forge a sword to carry on the fight. And so, amid Terra's hellfire, Malkador summoned 8 warriors. Their names spoken only in memory, they pledged themselves to an oath older than war itself. Through a webway portal carved in secret, they were taken to Titan. There, beyond mortal domains, their destiny was forged. From those 8 souls the Grey Knights arose, tireless, immutable, and ever vigilant. Malkador enacted final rites around Titan. Layers of reality were woven around the citadel, wrapping it in a bubble of eternal night from which the Imperium itself could never find entry. When the last loyalists on Terra fell, Titan remained, untouched and untainted, a bulwark against the approaching storm. To this day, the moon drifts like a wounded star behind a shroud of wards. The first of the Grey Knights took up the mantle of Supreme Grandmaster. They marched into battle against the darkness, wielding pure faith as weapon. Some accounts suggest the name of their first master, Janus. Yet, whether Janus was a man or a name for something greater, none can say. Legends claim he was the Emperor's own chosen, a psyker forged from the genetic memory of Magnus the Red and the Emperor's brilliance. Janus's deeds are half known, as if seen through a glass darkly. They say he carved true names upon the infernal hierarchies of the warp, declaring bans so terrible that demons tremble to utter them. It was he who bound the words of banishment into the fabled Liber Daemonica, that cyclopean grimoire of war. With his Titan sword, he even bested the demon Primarch Mortarion, shattering Mortarion's body by speaking the death name the Emperor had taught him. Such is Janus's legacy, a foundation of holy fury from which all Grey Knights flow. Yet even Janus did not survive the final acts of that age. Some say he chose oblivion. Others whisper that he walked into legend, becoming one with the war. But his oath endures. The bonds between the chapter, the Inquisition, and the Golden Throne were forged at his side. To this day, on Titan's halls, the first words Janus spoke at every induction are repeated by each new brother. An oath to remember and to be remembered, and a vow that the Grey Knight's flame will never gutter. In the endless war to come, heroes would arise to carry the chapter's mantle. Among them stands Supreme Grandmaster Kaldor Drygo, the last golden sword of Titan's pantheon. Drygo is a living myth. The fate that first befell Janus in legend befell Drygo in truth. He fought Mortarion once more and was cursed to exile. Drygo's saga is one of sacrifice beyond mortal dreams. As captain of the Third Brotherhood, he confronted Makkar, the reborn on Akralim, his blade and faith driving the demon back into the warp. In the blood-soaked battle of Cornovin, Mortarion himself felled Supreme Grandmaster Geronithan. Drygo answered with rage, invoking the Emperor's true name to shatter the Death Lord's body, and carving Mortarion's name into the Primarch's heart, a scar that Mortarion would bear forever. But such fury did not leave him untouched. In a final confrontation on Akralim, Drygo and Makkar clashed, and the world itself was torn. Though Drygo held victory, he was cast naked into the warp, blade in hand, and faith as armor. There, within the Immaterium's endless storms, Kaldor Drygo wanders still. To remain pure amid chaos's heart is his torment and his greatest triumph. In that alien realm, Drygo is not idle. He battles on, a sword of the Emperor raining retribution upon the dark gods. They claim he has slain multitudes of demons, horrors of blood, pestilence, and pleasure, setting Nurgle's jungles ablaze, banishing Slaanesh's damned concubines with righteous fury, and even fighting alongside the Dark Angels in their secret wars. So long as he lives, each battle he fights is another hope for a future beyond this age. They say that when he returns, the end of days will follow. But until then, his saga continues unseen. When the galaxy's dreamers speak of heroes, Drygo's legend is counted among the stars. Chapter inquisitors and librarians watch the horizons for ripples of his return. Sometimes a storm at Titan heralds his counsel, or an emperor's light guiding the warp signals his presence. He is as much myth as man now. But the Grey Knights place their faith in the hammer that never breaks, and in the promise that Kaldor Drygo will one day walk these worlds again. And among the living legends in service to the chapter, none burn with a brighter flame than Castellan Garan Crow. A brother who has taken the mantle of champion with both hands, Crow bears the demon sword Antwyr, a terrible relic that hungers for souls. The blade cannot be broken or purified. It was forged in blasphemy and tempered in fury. Yet from it, Crow draws no demonic strength for himself. Instead, the blade of Antwyr is Crow's test. For where it cuts, it invites madness. The black ship demon Skulltaker, drawn by its malice, rode across stars to hang Crow's name among its trophies. In Birmingham's ruins, the Castellan, tears of the Emperor in hand, consecrated the ground and faced Skulltaker in single combat. The Blood Crusade was halted. Though Crow did not slay the demon outright, he bound it by oath. Crow's struggle did not end there. When the galaxy trembled beneath the psychic awakening, he stormed the demon world Sortiarius and tore his brothers free from Hell's grip. Each victory only steeled him further. Today, he is the blazing example of what every Grey Knight aspires to be. His soul shines so bright that his foes burn in remorse with each swing of his blade. Proof that even the blackest weapon can be wielded by a heart of light. These named heroes, Jainas, Drygo, Crow, are but faces in a lineage of silent guardians. For every legend sung, 1,000 battles are fought in silence. Every purifier and paladin, from the lowliest battle brother to the loftiest grandmaster, know only duty. They endure suffering so that others may live. They ask neither fame nor favor. Their only quest is to be the hammer of the Emperor's justice, concealed yet ever ready. In their warp-touched fortress, the Grey Knights train in secret. New knights are inducted under rites older than recorded time, drawn from the purest ranks of Titan's labyrinth, or discovered by the Inquisition's blind searches. When induction completes, Each is given a demon-bane weapon and taught the true names of devils. For some, their greatest challenge has only just begun. Resisting the blade's whisper or gazing into the warp and not faltering. Only the faith of the Emperor can keep them whole. They are the ultimate guardians, yet also the saddest. After each crusade, the tales of their triumph are locked in Titan's codices, accessible only through layers of permission. The citizens of Man forget quickly what they have seen in dreams. And so, the Grey Knights vanish back into obscurity, as though they were never there. But when nightmares of chaos sweep across the Imperium's bed, these Knights of Grey rise like dawn to challenge the darkness. For in truth, they are neither fully man nor wholly myth. They are the Emperor's angels in armor, his last line of defense. Where the warp corrupts and the corruptors hide, the Grey Knights stand unyielding. They do not crave the spotlight of gods or mortals. The only light they need is the shining purpose on their breastplates. In that silent, eternal duty, the mortal and the divine converge. To speak of them is to speak of faith made steel. They have no alliances beyond the Emperor, no hold on subtle politics. There are no Grey Knight renegades, no desertions, no dabbling in chaos. The darkest secrets of their chapter serve their single mission: to find and smite demons wherever they hide, even if the Imperium itself does not know. The cosmic war against chaos will grind on for 1,000 millennia more. But the Grey Knights will remain, for their very existence is an answer from beyond the stars. In these latter days of war, when the galaxy splits open and gods step through the cracks, the Grey Knights stand vigilant. They fight, knowing their deeds will not fill history's pages and their names will not be carved in marble. They fight knowing that soon, perhaps, they too will fade into legend. But faith does not despair. They fight for the Emperor and the souls of men, unseen shields in the Imperium's darkest hours. So remember them not as shadows, but as hope. For even if the world forgets, the Emperor has not. The Grey Knights are etched into his war planets and prayers, a promise made in blood and memory. If the final chapter of humanity's war is to be written, it will be penned with their bolter shells and edged with their sword blades. In the grim darkness of the far future, when the great enemy looks to engulf the sun, know that the Grey Knights stand eternal in the breach. They are the Emperor's pale spear aimed at the heart of chaos. They are the memory of all who refuse to yield. And they are waiting, as they always have, for the call. And now, to those of you who have gazed upon this truth, swear with me by the Emperor's light. If you would preserve this archive of forbidden truth, seal your promise with an oath and activate the sigil below. We are the Grey Knights, and in darkness we keep the dawn.